drive into summer with the Honda CR-V and Accord, your fun-to-drive, weekend getaway vehicles. From Honda, the 2024 Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com Best Value brand. So hurry in to the Honda Summer Event. For a limited time, well-qualified buyers can get a 2.9% APR on a 2025 CR-V or 2024 Accord.
Contact your local Washington area Honda dealer today.
See dealer for financing details based on 2024 Consumer Choice Awards from Kelley Blue Book. Visit KBB.com for more information.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest. There's something so thrilling about playing Chumba Casino. Maybe it's the simple reminder that with a little luck, anything is possible. ChumbaCasino.com has hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from with new game releases each week. Play for free anytime, anywhere for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, this is The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi. Today, I'm very excited because we have a very special guest with us today. But before we begin, I just want to give a quick shout out to our sponsor. It's DMAWorld.com. And Mark, who runs the company, wanted us to let you know that he cares about small businesses and he likes to see small businesses grow. He doesn't want to see you get scammed by those big marketing companies. So check out Mark's company, DMAWorld.com, where you can find out solutions to the problems that you're having to help your company grow into the business that you desire. So Mark, tell me a little about yourself and what you do. You are a relationship coach, and I just want to hear more about it. I'm very excited to have you on the show.
Yeah, sure. So like you mentioned, Stacey, I am a relationship coach, but there's a bit of a mixed bag there. Like, so I both run my company, High Thrive Coaching, and I work directly with the clients. I do some amount of assessment ahead of time, but there's a lot of different things that we do. But my company, High Thrive Coaching, the main thing that we try to accomplish is we try to give people a way forward in relationship crises. Mm-hmm. So essentially, we take a lot of people who say, hey, my husband, my wife, they're talking about divorce, they're halfway out the door. And for a whole lot of people, they see that as a hopeless situation because they're hitting all these walls. Their spouse is saying, I'm done, I don't want to talk. And we found that, you know, with some guidance, we can get past a lot of those obstacles and we can get the relationship back to this state where the other person is actually wanting to talk and maybe considering working things out. And that's entirely what we do day in, day out, is talk about these really difficult crisis situations.
Now, when it comes to relationships, do you deal with all different age groups or do you find that a lot of these problems seem to happen more in middle age to 40 and older or 50 and older?
Well, I think that there's several different stages in life and relationships. I think each stage has its own challenge.
Yes.
So we do see some younger couples. We do see some older couples. And the challenges are a little bit different in those cases.
Right.
I think a lot with the younger couples, they get past this like honeymoon phase where everything is seeming really great. And they're actually having to settle down into real life.
Yes.
They start having kids. They might start having to focus on the career. And so these extra stressors are introduced. And yes, there tends to be a dip right there. So we see a lot of people in that category. We also see a lot of people towards the, you know, a little bit further on when kids have grown up and they're starting to move out of the house.
Yes.
And here's that classic midlife crisis sort of situation where people are reevaluating their life and they're like, do I actually like this anymore? Do I want something different? I only have a little bit of time here to actually settle into something new. And so we see some crises at that point. So we see a large range of situations. Right.
And, you know, what are some of the things that, you know, that help relationships so they stay healthy? Can you tell us a little about different techniques that people can use to keep the relationship healthy? Because as time goes on, we tend to change as individuals, too. We find out who we are. And they say people change every 7 years. And, you know, and it's so true. As you get older, you start to find out a little bit more about yourself and you start to dive deeper into who you are as a person. And sometimes the partner, you know, remembers that person they first met and they're like, who is this person? You know, this person is not the person I met in my 20s. and life changes. So what are some things you could tell us about as relationships evolve, how to keep a relationship healthy and strong?
Well, that's a really good question. You know, on the one hand, so much of what I do is help people out of a hole. But I mean, your question, like, how do we avoid going in the hole in the first place?
Yeah,
is excellent. I do see that a lot of the couples that I'm looking at, we can kind of reverse engineer this, like how they got in the hole in the first place is, as you mentioned, couples start to evolve and they change. And a lot of times there are these silent or hidden bids for something within the relationship.
Right.
So maybe here is the wife who is quietly saying, hey, can you hear me out a little bit more? Or I want to consider this a little bit more. And for one reason or another, it's perceived as being ignored or rejected.
Yeah.
And the problem arises as a lot of these bids continue to get shut down. And what I tend to see, it's usually the shutting down is not on purpose.
Right.
So what tends to happen is, since all these things are getting shut down, we start building up this idea that this thing that I'm looking for, this thing that I absolutely need in my life, it's impossible to attain within the relationship.
Right.
So it's easier for me to step aside and step out of the relationship. Now that's the problem. So if we reverse engineer this, mm-hmm. say, hey, there absolutely needs to be some room in the relationship to one be able to speak clearly and communicate clearly about what's wanted.
Yes.
And have some room to negotiate that within a relationship. If I were to say, what is the number one thing that needs to be protected? It's that. So yeah. Like, you know, I've been married to my wife now for 18 years. We have 5 kids, and we really make sure that we protect that sort of time where we can talk to each other and listen on a deep level. But it wasn't always that way.
We had
to figure that out some years ago. And I think that if a couple does really well with being able to recognize some of those bids, even when they're not being communicated well,
mm-hmm.
or if they're able to speak up about themselves and what they need, and that's being able to, and the other partner's able to receive that well, that's a good situation that can adapt to many of these changes that happen over the years.
I feel like communication is key, and so is honesty. But I feel sometimes when we approach somebody and we're honest with somebody in relationships, what I see it sometimes is that some people have a hard time accepting hearing the truth, you know, and that could be pose a problem in a relationship. When you're in a relationship and you approach your spouse or your partner and you tell them how you feel and you give them your honest, verbal emotions, I'm feeling this way because, and that person's having a hard time accepting it because they don't want to hear the truth because the truth hurts. How do you actually, be able to solve that problem where you could actually have a healthy communication and be truthful with one another? Because some people are afraid to tell somebody the truth mm-hmm. because they are afraid, you know, what the reaction is going to be, because they know that person so well, they know they're not going to be able to handle the truth well.
Yeah, no, that's an excellent question. I actually was just answering this to a client a couple hours ago. So I want a quick story with that. So I was talking with this gentleman, he's a little bit older, and he's made some mistakes with his life. And, you know, not only was he trying to repair his relationship with his wife, but also his kids, but he sent out this really great message to his wife, trying to get some things going. And she responded with a lot of hurt. Yeah. And he came back and he said, do you see this? Do you see what she's saying about me? Do you see what she, like, how could she say these things about me? And I said, hold up a moment right there. You invited her to give you some feedback, and you're coming to me and you're saying, how dare she?
Right.
And it's exactly that kind of situation that you're describing there. Like, how can we be open here in these situations? And I was able to help him see that these sort of reactions were at the heart of the problems in his relationship. His wife didn't feel able to come and talk to him because he was shutting her down.
Yeah.
It's defensiveness. I like the I borrow theories from, I like to ground my work in established theories. So in this case, I'm thinking of like Dr. John Gottman, big name in marriage research, huge name, great author, very smart guy.
Right.
So he talks about four horsemen of divorce. And these are like predictors that say, hey, if these things are present, divorce is likely. Yeah. But I also want to recognize that these are things that tend to shut down discussion.
Right.
These things are like criticism, contempt, defensiveness, and stonewalling.
Yes.
In this case, this gentleman that I was talking to, he was getting defensive when he was hearing feedback. And what we're really looking for is, if we're trying to open this up, there has to be some ability to receive things well. I think the metaphor that I like to use is like the idea of this safe harbor. So here's all this emotional turmoil, but you need to have this space here where, even though there's all this turmoil, things can be a little bit calm and we can receive those ships or the bids or whatever that we happen to say. And otherwise, it's just not going to go anywhere positive. And I've gone off my tangent here, Stacey, and I'm forgetting the initial question, but we were talking about like, how do we have healthier communication? Was that what it was?
But you were kind of flowing in the right direction.
We were
talking about like, you know, how do you work with that somebody who doesn't take constructive criticism or honesty well?
Yes.
And you know, like you said, it's a you have to work as a team basically, and be able to be open to that, you know, constructive criticism. Like you said, when you use the example of this couple, you know, he invited her to express her emotions and tell how she felt, but then he didn't like what he heard, so then he got defensive.
Yeah. So like when we're saying, how do we actually work with something like that? It's a lot easier when I have that direct access with my clients.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm able to coach them through that and say, hey, look, if you're trying to get in and get good with your husband or wife better, you need to be able to do this. It's a little bit different, you know, when I'm saying, hey, client, go to your spouse and have them receive you well.
Yeah.
That's a different case entirely. And, you know, a lot of like what we do when I'm working with clients in those cases is we have to build to that.
Right.
And oftentimes with the other partner feeling so hurt, we can't always demand a lot from them. Like, please listen to me, please hear me. They're just not ready for that.
Yeah. And
a lot of the early work is helping my client help their spouse feel heard.
Yeah.
Oftentimes I see like once we can get that going a little bit more, and once they are feeling safe from the client that I'm working with, it becomes a lot easier to have the spouse receive my client a little bit better and feel, be able to receive some of that feedback a bit better, but we have to build to it.
So how do you, when you talk about, how do you get in your client to feel like they're being heard? What are some constructive ways to make your partner feel like they're being heard?
I'm pausing for a moment here because I'm trying to think of like, where in the process are we? One of the things that I will start a lot of clients off with in terms of like making sure that your partner feels heard and received, I give people a really structured approach.
Okay.
And this is what I call a CAVE approach. We're going to have a little bit of an acronym here.
Mm-hmm.
So I tell them, hey, you start off approaching them with a lot of curiosity. Notice some feelings that have been going on. Be curious, ask some questions. Like, hey, I notice you've been seeming a bit upset. I'm really curious about that. I want to understand what's going on.
Yeah.
I'll tell clients almost 90 some percent of the time that person is going to respond and is probably going to double down on some of those feelings.
Yeah.
Great. Wait for a response. So we have the A and the V. You need to have some acceptance and validation. You need to be able to receive some of that, even if it's not what you want to hear, even if it's a little bit negative, and you have to validate it. And
right.
I have to spell this out for clients because some clients are like, I have no idea what you're talking about. So like when I'm telling them, hey, acceptance and validation, you need to like verbally say, essentially, like you need to convey that their point of view makes sense to you.
Right.
it makes sense in general. Not that we have to agree or that you just have to throw yourself under the rug or the bus, but it has to make sense.
Right.
Generally speaking, you know, you make a statement of validation, they're going to continue to double down on their point. And then that last one, E, is you need to express some empathy, like touch on the emotional side of things.
Right.
And really speak to that side. So like, hey, I see you're feeling really upset. I'm curious about that. Hey, your point of view makes sense. That must feel really painful and frustrating. I get where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Then we can kind of move on and maybe make some bids for some amount of solution of some sort. But those four things right there really open up the conversation to being able to move it in a healthier place, because then that other partner feels heard and received first.
Right. Now, a lot of times, like I see, especially now after COVID, you know, a lot of people are suffering from finances. They're financially struggling. And, you know, finance, you know, problems can really hurt a relationship. It could put a lot of stress on the relationship. It could cause a lot of unnecessary fighting. And how does a couple not let their finances overbear their healthy relationship, where it gets to a point where they can, you know, the person is so under so much stress that they're taking out their frustration or their anger on their partner because they're so worried about, you know, making ends meet or being the breadwinner or trying to pay the bills and vice versa? How do you, you know, deal with that problem in a relationship?
No, it's a good question. It's really relevant. I think a lot of people tend to say, okay, here is finances, or here is, you know, another hot button topic. It would be sex.
Yes.
We say, okay, these are separate things. And really the way I'm looking at it is like, this just happens to be certain things that are being prioritized.
Yes.
Like with finances, the priority tends to be if I'm focusing on finances, I'm tending to look at how do I gain some sense of security or stability in my life? Mm-hmm. I want to feel like there's some calm here. Mm-hmm. If it's another hot button topic like sex, I'm wanting to feel like I matter, that I'm wanted, that I feel some ability to have some connection.
Right.
And we might have some counter to stability within finances. They might say, I want to feel some freedom in my life. I want to feel some ability to be able to enjoy the things in life. And these are all just, none of them is really bad.
Yeah.
It's, you know, the partner who wants to be able to spend to kind of distract themselves a little bit. It's not such a terrible want. Like, of course we want to be able to enjoy some things out of life.
Yeah.
And it's just like, how are we negotiating some of these balance or these priorities?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where this conflict comes from. If I'm working with a couple, if I'm working with both partners, this is an easy thing to discuss. I generally am trying to approach it and saying, hey, look, can you see that these are just preferences, these are opinions, and neither one of these is a bad thing. We try to get some understanding or acceptance there. And then, you know, there's a very simple way that I go about helping the couple negotiate some expectations around these priorities in a way that works for both of them.
Right.
When I'm just working with an individual trying to settle things down, there's a wide range of, like, depending on where they're at in the situation, if the partner is actually going to work with them, if they're going to listen, that's a great situation. If they're not going to listen, then, you know, it tends to be more about setting boundaries and making sure that there's, you know, even as you're setting boundaries, that you give some room for the other person and what they want. But I guess what I'm getting at here is it really depends on the situation and where they're at. But in general, I think the general principle is, like, we want to look at these things as prioritizing different good things.
Right.
That if you're a healthy couple, you learn to negotiate these good things together.
Right. Right. No, that's a great answer. And I think people, you know, they tend to forget to prioritize, and or they get so involved in what's happening in their life and the problems they're going through that they're just so engulfed in it that they don't see anything but that problem.
Well, I think what happens is they say, well, this is the priority. This is the right thing. If you're disagreeing with me, then that's the wrong thing. And that's the wrong way to look at it when you're in a relationship.
Yeah.
Like my myself and my wife is a very energetic person. She's wonderful. I love that energy. And I provide a lot of grounding in
the
relationship. And we have some different priorities sometimes in like what we are trying to accomplish.
Right. And
why it works for both of us is we are able to communicate some of those needs, and we have some give and take, and we have some a great ability to negotiate those needs. Once again, we weren't always like this.
Yeah,
we had to build this up. We very nearly broke up at one point, but this like that ability to openly discuss it and negotiate is key.
Oh, definitely. I think being able to discuss it and negotiate it is definitely key. And that's something people have to be willing to do. Both people have to be willing to do.
Certainly.
Now, I notice also like in relationships, you know, as time goes on and you're married for a long period of time, things start to change. You know, when you start to get into those 15 years, 20 years, 25 years, and sometimes the spark can die down, or, you know, you also go through your bodily changes where your libido might, you know, decrease, or a lot of men, you know, experience erectile dysfunction, and, you know, they just go through, you know, their testosterone levels go down, both in men and women, and in their experience, things they'd never experienced before. And how do you work with somebody and work with a couple and, you know, encourage them, you know, in different ways to keep that spark going? Because so many people that I come across, you know, the problem that they feel is that the spark had died and they don't feel that spark that they used to feel anymore. They still love the person, but they just, it's a different type of love that it turned into, and they're kind of missing that spark, but they don't know how to get it back.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to separate this into two different things, because we're hearing spark and we're also hearing basically libido and sexual desire, which I'm looking at this as like, here is this emotional connection and desire, and then here's this physical thing. And I do think, certainly, I want to acknowledge that there is a physical side to this. As people age, hormones change, there's menopause, and there's just different problems with aging.
Right.
I'll get to that in a second, but most people, when they're talking about the spark, mm-hmm. they're saying, do I feel like these butterflies? Do I feel this excitement around my partner?
Yeah.
I will defend this point to the day I die, that I think that it's not necessarily an inevitable that dies off.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why it dies off over time is because, you know, other things get put in the way. I have 5 kids. It's really easy for me to hear the squeaky wheels of my kids and or they're complaining and to focus over there. My wife and I have had to draw some boundaries around our time together in order to protect that, and not to like say, hey, look at me, I have such a great relationship, but I do.
Yeah.
Because, you know, because we do protect our relationship from other good things in our life.
Mm-hmm.
We still have a regular time for dates on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
I still look forward to my time with my wife in the evening. I still have those feelings after, now, so we've been married for 18 years. We dated for 4 years before that. I've been with her more than half my lifetime.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Still have those feelings, but it's because we do so well with protecting that time. And I mean, there's a lot of other factors that are involved with that, but I'm of the opinion that if you take the effort to really put in effort, mm-hmm. that's what maintains that spark in a relationship.
Right.
The only reason that it dies off is because we say kids get in the way, or my career is being prioritized, or I need to take some time to prioritize friendships.
Yeah.
We aren't focusing in on the relationship. If we want to take this, the other side of this, I think I'm oversimplifying the Spark thing. There's so much more to look at there, but for time's sake, we'll move on. If we're looking at the physical side of this, I think that's a scary thing to be aging and recognize that, hey, some of my physical desire is leaving. In couples, when I'm approaching this, I always look at that emotional side first. Is that being supported? Because generally speaking, if that emotional side, if that connection is really there, people can make that physical side work to some degree. If there's actually some very specific physical problems, like, hey, there's erectile dysfunction, hey, there is a problem with hormones, I mean, that's a solvable problem. If you have that emotional connection, then that, you know, all you do is you get the medication, you check your hormones, you
get
the doctor, and that can come back quite easily.
Right.
In my opinion.
Oh, for sure. Definitely. I think those are great answers. And, you know, I think it's very important that people hear these things. So these are common things that go on in people's relationships. Now, I know that you were talking about that you all have some programs and you offer some services. I'd like to hear more about them, if you don't mind.
Yeah. So we, as I mentioned earlier, like where we have put our focus on is a lot in those crisis situations where people are giving up a bit of hope. They're saying there's nothing to be done with the marriage, but someone wants to hold on to it. Right. I say marriage, I'm really just meaning relationships in general. I have a lot of people that come my way that might not be technically married, but they may have been with this person for many years, and just really any long-term relationship. So what we do is we take these individuals, we say, hey, I know things are looking hopeless, but look, here are so many options to, you know, increase the amount of comfort in the relationship, help them pull away from this lack of hope, to help them see that there are solutions within the relationship. And I know a lot of my clients want to come in and they say, okay, we're 2 weeks in, why isn't my wife wanting to work things out with me? And I have to, that's a lot of my work, is saying, hey, this takes a little bit of time. If your husband or your wife was considering divorce, this has been years in the making. And I'm helping them find those solutions. I'm helping them keep that hope that things can work out.
Right.
And I see all the time where, you know, there's a divorce set and they don't want to talk. Their spouse doesn't want to talk to them, and they're saying, only communicate to me about the kids or something. And we turn that around into a situation where they're now coming back together. Last week I was talking with a couple, and when she first came to me, they had been separated for about a year and a half. He'd hardly wanted to see her. He wouldn't hardly talk to her. Now I'm meeting with both of them together as a couple, and they're talking about, you know, negotiating buying a house together and moving back in together. So, like, there is a lot of hope in a lot of these situations that we might recognize. So what I do is I work one-on-one with my clients. I help them know what to say and how to bridge that gap between where they are and where they want to be. I do a lot of support over social media and email. So I, like, my clients can check in with me all throughout the week. If they just had a big fight, they don't know how to respond to their spouse, I'm there. And beyond that, we also have group calls where people can check in. They can say, hey, what's going on? Can I get a little bit of support? I can see that other people are in a similar boat as me. I can see that some of these solutions are working for them. Maybe I'll try that out. But it's a really comprehensive approach.
Right.
Really involved approach, because that's what's needed in these crisis situations.
Yeah.
And so rather than taking a therapy approach and saying, hey, you know, this is bad. What do you want to do with this? You know, not that therapy is a terrible thing, but these situations, it needs a lot more guidance. It needs a lot more structure and needs a lot more clear direction. And that's what I offer.
Oh, that's excellent. That's excellent. Now, where can people find your website and they can find you?
Sure. They can go to highthrivecoaching.com. If they'd like to just get an evaluation and see if, like, this is a good fit, if, like, there is any hope in their situation, same way, website, highthrivecoaching.com/apply. So that's high as in like H, like a high five, but high thrive. If people would like to, just in general, they're like, who's this Mark guy? Does he even talking about? I don't know. I take some time every week to just kind of answer questions and talk about this topic in general. I've been doing this now for close to 4 years. We are 170 some episodes into our podcast. You can check us out on YouTube at the, I want to say Thriving. This is terrible.
No, it's okay. They can probably find your YouTube channel on your
website. No, like I'm just saying, I don't. Yeah, it's High Thrive Coaching is the channel. But
I was do that all the
it's
time.
Terrible. No,
honest with me.
Oops.
Is your marriage?
I had to type it in. That was what that was. Yeah. I was just saying it was terrible because I don't normally run the social media, like I don't, or the marketing. So it's like,
I do it all the time.
What is my own channel here? Even though I'm there like every single week for like years, I'm like, oh man.
No worries. I do that all the time. Same thing. Same.
No,
thing.
That's fine. So yeah, High Thrive Coaching on YouTube. You can also check us out at The Thriving Marriage on Facebook. We're all over the place. So I like to be out there. I don't want to just assume that people are going to be like, yeah, I'm going to go with this guy. Please check us out. Please ask questions. Please be a little bit skeptical.
Yeah.
Don't mind it at all. Like I have people showing up for these evaluation calls and they're like, I'm not sure if this is for me. And I'm like, fine, I don't mind taking a little bit of time to talk with these people to
right.
See if it's a good fit.
No, that's great. That's great. And do you have like a blog on your website or do you have anything people could refer to, any type of articles or anything like that?
No, not a whole lot of articles. We focused a little bit more on like I said, the podcast. And
okay. Whatnot.
But there's right there. That's usually me for about an hour at a time each week.
Oh, that's great.
We also run some master classes, meaning like if people just want to kind of a good overview of everything. We usually announce those on the Facebook group as well. So.
Oh, that's excellent. That's excellent. You know, this has been wonderful. Now, if you had to give some tips to couples, what are some important tips, to keep in a healthy and happy marriage? What would you tell people, if you had some simple tips that they could practice at home to keep that relationship healthy and to keep it thriving?
We're talking about like some maintenance or trying to get to some improved state. I think a lot of it depends on where people are at, but in general, if you are in an okay situation and your spouse will talk to you and generally is going to work with you a little bit, I think if you're trying to get out of a little bit of a hole, it's more than anything, I think you need to dedicate some time to it.
Right.
As in, my suggestion would be to have some time set aside each week. You're not going to have some distractions. I would call this like a couple's inventory. It's mm-hmm. a space where people can, either one of you can bring up some concerns, feel heard, and the two of you can negotiate on what those solutions would be. Right. I think it's a really great place to start.
Yes.
And at the same time, like if you feel like your relationship is heading in the wrong direction, I wouldn't rely just on that.
Yeah.
I would highly, highly recommend that you find people who specialize in relationships. Like certainly, sure, come to me. Wouldn't mind that at all. But I spend enough time doing, in a general practice in therapy to know that like a lot of if you just go to a general therapy practice,
right,
that's not generally their specialty. It wasn't my specialty for a while.
Yeah.
And so like a lot of times in those clinics, the therapists are seeing like anxiety disorders, mood disorders, eating disorders, and that's like their bread and butter.
Yeah.
And I personally wouldn't go to someone who doesn't specialize
yes. in a
particular problem that you're looking for. So if you're going to do it on your own, yeah, structure some time, but I would highly recommend finding someone who knows how to evaluate the situation and can steer you in the right direction.
Excellent. Excellent. I think this is great advice. This has been wonderful, Mark. I love, the topics that we had touched base on. And is there anything else that any other topic that you'd like to touch base on before we go that you think needs to be addressed, or did we hit some most important topics?
Yeah. One last thought is make sure people that you're not waiting too long. There's so many people who say that kind of take their relationship for granted. They say, well, my husband, my wife, they're going to be there for me.
Yeah.
And there's so many people that I hear that express this regret that said, hey, if only I'd talked to you 2 years ago.
Right.
Or even a year ago, you know, some amount of time ago. I only wish I had paid attention to this sooner. So I please don't be that person.
Right.
Please, you know, if it's just a little, even if it feels like a little small thing, please bring it up. Please address it. Please do something with your spouse now rather than sit on it and regret it later.
Excellent. Yes. Because, you know, sometimes when you prolong things, you know, sometimes you could be in denial. Sometimes you could just not want to address the problem because, you know, it's going to be painful. But whatever the case may be, when it lingers, it only gets worse in any situation, it seems.
Exactly. It seems more and more impossible if you just keep sitting on it. It doesn't feel like it's ever going to change in those cases.
Yeah, definitely. This has been wonderful, Mark. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I'd love to have you back on the show. Maybe we can address some other topics in the future.
Love to do that. Yeah.
Yeah, this has been wonderful. Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure.
You have a great day.
You too.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. People always say it's good to unwind, but that's easier said than done. The exception, Chumba Casino. They actually make it easier done than said, or at least the same. Chumba Casino is an online social casino with hundreds of casino-style games like slots and blackjack. Play for fun. Play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Sign up now and collect your free welcome bonus at chumbacasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.